basically like as you're pulling your beer tea bag out of your like hypothetical mug. Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for those who are just beginning their beer journey or for people who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones. I'm the gal pal you never knew you had. Today, surprisingly, I'm going to be your guide to homebrewing. But first, let me say Happy New Year, guys. Welcome to 2022. With the changing of the calendar comes just a whole lot of new stuff, new planners, new energy, new goals, new things that you're going to try. I mean, just piles and piles and piles on new things. Now, for me, part of the new year will be a personal bigger focus on homebrewing. Aaron, my boyfriend, and I have brewed now 3 times together. And for the new year, we decided that we want to keep doing this as a hobby together on a more regular cadence. Now, without taking you guys totally into the weeds about where this came from, the plan for us, I told you a couple weeks back, or maybe that was only last week, we're planning on moving, which means getting a new house. So the plan for the new house is to set up a cool wet bar area in this house that we have yet to buy. And on that bar, I really want at least 2 different beer taps. And then that way we can always have a keg of something local on hand, as well as something that we brewed. I never thought that I was going to talk about homebrewing on this podcast because I am so far from being an expert in this space. And I really didn't think you guys would be interested in it, to be honest. But as I've posted pictures along our brewing journey, and as well as when I did the call for dumb beer questions, some people reached out and said, you know, really, I would love to learn just a little baby bit about how beer is made and how it is brewed. So today's episode is going to be all about homebrewing, or really, like, let's step that back, just brewing basics in general. How do we turn grains, water, yeast, and hops into beer from the point of view of someone who's still learning a little bit about it? So let's get going. Now, this holiday totally wiped you out, like I know it did for me. I want you to take the next 2 seconds and think about what you're doing to recharge your batteries so you're ready for all that 2022 has to bring. Now, for me personally, this means a beer bath. I'm a sucker for our hops-infused tub teas, and personally, I like beer baths about 100 times more than beer showers, but that is just me. So if you need any help recharging, head to beerfeelings.com/store and see what we have in stock. I know we sold out of most of our signature experience boxes over the holiday season, which, side note, was wonderful. So thank you to everyone who purchased. But we still have our bath bombs, we still have our tub teas, we still have our beer facial. So lots of tools that can help you reset and re-gear and just get ready to kick ass for the new year. Side note, if you do want any of those beer kits, I'm hoping that everything is in stock again by the end of the week. So stay tuned. If you're not following us on social, do that now. That should just be a given always. So anyways, just wanted to check on you guys, take a minute for yourself, but let's go ahead. Let's hop in. Let's talk about homebrewing. Now, before we get going, I do want to make a few disclaimers. I want to let you guys know, I mentioned a few moments ago, I have brewed beer in my life a total of 3 times. I've consumed a lot of beer. I've watched people brew a lot of beer, but me, myself, being the brewer, I've done it 3 times. The first one was not good. The second one was really awesome. And the third one is still fermenting, but things are not looking up. There are kind of some warning signs to say that something happened. So I have a grasp on the basics and what should happen in the brewing process, but I'm still learning. Aaron, my boyfriend, came into our relationship with a decent amount of prior knowledge, which he has helped me learn about this, but especially as we've been upgrading our equipment, we've been learning together. A resource for us that we've really enjoyed, that we found a lot of value in, is the book Homebrew Beyond the Basics, All Grain Brewing and Other Next Step by Mike Karnowski. Mike, I'm really sorry if I mispronounce your name, but I'm pretty sure Mike Karnowski. We've been using that as our guide. The setup that we're using, it's called an all grain system, where basically all that means is the grains that we're using are real instead of using like a malt extract. Basically, the reason why we can do that is because our system is just bigger. It has a bigger volume. So we don't need to kind of take a shortcut like you would with malt extracts. If you are just getting in to brewing, like you've never brewed before, and this episode convinced you that it's what you want to do, just know a lot of intro kits will have you use extracts specifically for the grain piece instead of getting like a bunch of what looks like chunky flour. That's totally cool. If you are excited about brewing and you are working towards making beer, you're doing it right. We're all working towards the same goal here, that we want to drink cool beer. So that's my disclaimer, everybody. That's what our system looks like. Now, brewing can kind of be as complicated as you want it to be, kind of like baking. You can change up the ingredients. You can change when you add things to the recipe. And before we totally get into like, how does this work? The recipes that did not work for me were the complicated ones, were the ones where you had to add something a little more non-traditional or add different things in at different times. So again, if you're looking to start, you can go out and you can buy kits that are kind of like an all-in-one, but just from Natalie, your friend, choose an easy recipe to start off with. And you know what? There's no shame if you do one easy recipe and it kicks butt. Make it again. That would be great. That's where we messed up this last time. So let's, I've talked enough about me. Let's talk about beer. Let's talk about where it's from. So let's see, how many steps did I split this into? A simple 8-step process. Some brewers probably have a lot more steps than this, but these are the steps that with each of the 3 batches, Aaron and I have followed along. They're going to give you a pretty clear idea on how we brew beer. So step number 1, buy ingredients. Now, homebrew shops are actually really cool. They kind of look, at least the grain portion of this store, right? Like they have one section of the store with all the equipment and the tubes and the thermometers and stuff. But then they have the section with all of the grains and the yeast and the hops. And the grain section, I actually really enjoy like walking around and looking at, because it kind of looks like the bulk section where they keep all like the cashews and granola and stuff at like Whole Foods. So what you do at the homebrew store is you have your recipe, you measure out all the different grains that you want to put in there, and then you go to one of their grain mills and you take all the little pieces and you break them into smaller chunks. Now, the reason why we do this is it makes it easier for all of the sugars and starches to leave the grains to go into this liquid that we're producing. So go buy ingredients. Step number 2, you go home and clean everything. I wish like I wasn't being dramatic in this, but literally, I mean, clean everything, clean the floors, clean the counters. Like my dog sheds a lot, so we vacuum the curtains. Germs are not your friend here. There's a very low range of like forgiveness area of margin. What I've completely forgotten. There's a very small area of margin. I think, yeah, is the saying, but if you mess up and you get germs in there, your beer is going to be bad. All is to say. So step number 2, clean literally everything. The upside of this, at least for me in my home, so far, this has been the easiest way to talk Aaron into cleaning the house. So I'm kind of excited to brew on a more regular cadence, because that means he'll be a little more motivated to like mop. Who still mops? Maybe we're just like gross people, but anyway, so once everything is cleaned, you will take all of your water and you're going to heat it up, and then you're going to add your grains that you got all mushed up at the store. You're going to add your grains into the water. This is called mashing in. Now, the goal in this step is to kind of make cereal sugar water. The basic setup, like I guess to describe it in words, is like you're making soup or you're making tea out of the grains. So this is boiling either in like a giant ass pot on the stove, or like we have a kettle, which just looks like a pot that has a heating element built into it. Now, with our latest setup, we have a tube that kind of goes from the bottom of the pot and it pumps the liquid on top to get the liquid moving and covering more of the grains. The whole goal of this is just getting more sugar, right? Like, if you didn't agitate the grains or you didn't do anything, there's only so much you could get out of there, because maybe the water can't get into like all the nooks and crannies. The other thing that you can do in this process when you are creating your mash and you're mashing in is you can, it's called sparging, which I think is a cool word. Basically, like as you're pulling your beer tea bag out of your like hypothetical mug, you're going to pour more hot water on top of the grains that are draining to get more of those sugars out. So either way, our goal in this whole step, step number three, extract as much of the sugar out of the grains into the water that you can. And then step four is just take the grains out. And we save them and we make a bunch of dog treats for Bucket, which is much easier than I expected. And Bucket loves it. But at this point, the grainless kind of cereal water is called the wort. What we're going to do in step four is not only pull the grains out, but we are going to boil this. And the goal here is to kill all of the germs. We need this to be sterile or sanitary. I don't know what the difference between those two are. Medical professionals weigh in here, but step four is easy. Just like heat it up, get it hot. Step five is add the hops. So you boil the wort for a while to get all like the yucky stuff to go away. And then you add the hops in. This, like, I put a 5 question mark in my notes because it really could be a lot of steps or it could be one step. A lot of recipes differ not only in the type and quantity of hops that you're adding, but they can also change when you put the hops in. Now, I'm pretty sure we talked about this, or else this was like a fever dream. We've talked about different roles that hops can play in creating a beer. So, right, hops act as that preservative in the beer. They can add aroma to the beer, and then they can also add the taste. They can add the flavor. So depending on when you drop them in that boiling liquid, that's going to determine what qualities or what like role they're trying to fill there. So step number five, this hops. That's it. Then step number six, once the boil is totally done, and once it's kind of like the timer has gone off. I mean, the reason why we boiled it is so that there weren't living creatures in there. Now we need to make it a more comfortable environment so the yeast can not only exist, but it can thrive in there. So a few different ways to cool your wort down. Our setup, we have a coil. It kind of looks like a metal hose that goes around the, like just the edge of our bucket. It sits in the wort, and then we hook it up to some cold water and we pump it through. So the cool water kind of does a little do-si-do in there and then carries the heat out. You can drop the whole tub into just like an ice bath. You can ice down the sides of it. Potentially, if you live in a cold climate or if you're brewing in the winter, you could just stick that sucker outside and let it cool down. But the key to this step is to not only cool off your wort, but it's to keep it clean. Because again, we work so hard to get all those little buggies out of there. It would be a bummer to get anything back in. Now, step number seven, once you're the proper temperature, you are going to move your soon-to-be beer into your fermenting vessel. So we're doing kind of like a location change here. And then you're going to add the yeast in there and you're going to do a stir, stir, stir. For us, the stir also includes praying that there's no floating dog hairs that get in there, because now we have like stirring, like the air is moving. It's a high tension time in our household. Then once it's in there, over the next week or so, the yeast is going to eat all of the sugars that you work so hard to extract from the grains, and it's going to convert it into gas and into alcohol. Imagine if you had more and more and more gas building up in a closed container, you're going to create an explosion is what you're going to do. So how you're going to prevent that is you add in, it's called an airlock, to the very top of your fermenting vessel. And it basically, like ours is a little, it kind of looks like a sideways S, and there's some liquid in there. So it lets all of the gas out, but it doesn't let anything else in. So it's just kind of like a one-way road, but it does work in helping to prevent explosions. Now, you give it a week. Some beers ferment in like a week. Some take a long time. It depends on all the ingredients that you used. It depends on the temperature of your house. It depends on a lot of things. But at this point, when you decide that you're done, and I'm skipping a lot of the science here because, well, it just, I don't want to talk about like gravity measurements and things like this. But basically at this point, you have beer and that's really cool. And now you just have to choose how you want to store it. So the two options that I am familiar with is you could either keg it, which is really what I would like to do at the new house. But what you have to do when you're kegging it, so you put all of your beer in one in the keg, and then you have to make sure to connect it to a CO2 tank nearby, because that's going to be what adds in the carbonation. The other option that you have, if kegging isn't really a choice, maybe you don't have like a cool tap setup. Like right now, we do not have a cool tap setup. So you can bottle it. And basically what you do to help make the carbonation is you make like kind of an extra little bit of sugar liquid stuff. This is very technical. You mix it into your beer. And then right as soon as you mix it, you put it in the bottles right away. So the little bits of leftover yeast that's still in your beer, it's going to eat that little extra bit of sugar and make the bubbles for you. So that's it, guys. That's simple as that. That is how you brew an ale. That's what I've done 3 times, successfully once, not successfully once. So I can tell you guys what went wrong on this last batch. I thought I remembered how to assemble our equipment. And God, we put everything together. When we were doing the location change, we were changing from our kettle when we were boiling everything to our fermenter, and we stirred the yeast in. And we thought we were done. And we noticed just a single drip happening out of the fermenter, out of one of like the little spigots. And this is not good. Like everything should be sealed up. There should not be any leaking. And Aaron and I were racking our brains. How on earth, like what happened? Did the threads on like some of the joints not line up? Did I not like tighten up? And then we found an O-ring, like a little rubber rogue O-ring that I just completely forgot to put in. So we had to take all of our mixture, all of the liquid that we had worked for literally 5 or 6 hours on, move it to a pot that we're honestly like, we think it's sterile, but we don't really know. And that's where we think the problems are. We reassembled the fermenter. It's totally sealed now. And we put all of the beer in. And you know, like, is there a chance that this beer is good? Yeah, there is. But there's just like, due to dog hair, due to an extra like container in there. Like I just, honestly, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'll let you know. You guys hear from me once a week. So I'll keep you posted on how this works. But anyways, a few other things I wanted to mention before we totally wrap this episode. The process that I just described is how to brew an ale, or at least the very, very like watered down simplified version on how you would go about brewing an ale. As we've kind of talked about along the way, you can get different styles of beer following these same steps, but just adjusting the ingredients, their quantities, and then also when you combine them. So following these steps, we've been able to brew, or at least create something that's our first batch was a Goza. The next batch, which actually worked really well, was a farmhouse ale. And this third one that we're waiting on is a wheat beer, but just following the same steps and changing what goes in there. But just so you know, there's some other ways to brew that are different than what we covered today on the show that I've never done before. Honestly, I don't know if I will ever do this, but lagers happen through a process called lagering. Hilariously enough, which is just cold fermentation. And what we were doing was warm, right? Like there was a lot of heat involved. Lagers are much more challenging to make because you do need to bring that temperature down and it requires a little bit of extra equipment. So if you happen to be at a brewery and they have a delicious lager, then they really know what they're doing. They're not Natalie in the kitchen here. And then the other thing, just because I think it's fun, there's something called spontaneous fermentation, which is basically like, for lack of a better phrase, where you let the yeast find you. This is where you want like good little buggies to come find your beer and to come like get comfy in there. And that's what causes some like funky sours and things like that. So it's a wild world out there. And it certainly makes for a much more fun hobby when your beer turns out good than when it doesn't turn out great. But if anyone is curious and was curious about what Aaron and I are doing this year as our goal, brewing beer and having more batches work than don't work, that's our goal. So the friends, that's going to be the end of this episode. Make sure if you've not done so already to subscribe wherever you're listening. And if you've been enjoying the show, it would be really cool and helpful if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help other beer lovers or beer newbies find us. My friends, I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know how you liked this episode. And no matter what you're doing today, I sincerely hope you're doing it with a great beer in your hand and even better people by your side. Cheers, everybody. Catch you next week.